Everybody, I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's August 6, 2013, a lovely summer day. The summer winds came blowing in from across the ski sea. I'm forgetting the words already. And have you heard that song recently? And I'll tell you where you've heard it if you've been paying attention to what I've been telling you. And that is the new Swing Gourmets, The Making of the Swing Gourmets, our documentary food show, The Real American Barbecue. We sing that at the end, and I don't mess up the words like I just did just now. Anyway, I'm hoping that if you haven't seen it, you check it out. It's 28 minutes. Go to swinggourmets.com. Right? Okay, this is going to be fun. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I'm surprised that I haven't had this guest on the show earlier than today. But I've got Rob Poe here in the studio with me, and he's known as Broccoli Rob. He's an accomplished singer and songwriter from New York, voted ABC Radio Network's Best New Unsigned Artist. He's been on radio, television, and performed throughout the USA as well as Europe. And we're going to learn a lot more about Rob and Broccoli Rob right now. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here. Got to get closer to the mic over here.
Yeah. Okay. So welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
Great. Okay.
I brought my guitar just in case you want to hear a little.
Yes, we
little
do. We're going to check into that in a little bit. But first, we need to know about you. So let's just jump into the serious stuff and then we'll lighten it up a little bit. My understanding is you had a health crisis of your own, and somehow food came to your rescue. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. I was, actually, my dad was sick. My dad had lung cancer, and I was trying to find help from my dad. And I called a mutual acquaintance. His name is Barry Hartglass.
That's my brother. You know, I don't know if you noticed the musical intro when we came into the show, but that was composed and played by my wonderful, talented musician brother.
Very talented musician. And I gave him a call, and he said, talk to Karen. Give Karen a call. She has so much information about health, getting well. And you recommended a book. And I read the book. It was called Eat to Live by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. I read the book. I followed his diet. Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. It was actually my dad had passed away probably 2 days before I read the book.
Oh, yeah.
And but the book made so much sense to me. And I started reading the book and following the diet religiously, and I started feeling fantastic. I felt really, really good. And I wasn't even aware that I had an autoimmune disease. And so I went to the doctor for a physical, and he said, you know, your blood tests resemble rheumatoid arthritis, lupus.
Wow.
So he sent me to a whole bunch of doctors, and they all wanted me on prednisone, steroids.
You didn't have any symptoms?
I did.
Okay.
But I thought that's how people felt.
That's just getting old stuff.
That's just getting older and
so what did you
achy
have? You have
joints,
some, yeah.
Feeling tired all the time, rashes on my body, number of things.
It's amazing what we accept as normal.
Yeah.
And I love to say this, but most of us don't know how good we can feel.
Exactly.
We just don't know.
That's right. I didn't know until I started eating fruits and vegetables, high micronutrient foods, following the diet in that book. And I felt better than I ever did in my life.
Well, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He's been on this program before, and he's a dear friend. And I think he's a great, great man, and he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah. Well, mind you,
I want to say that many people read his book, and it's been on the New York Times bestseller list now for, I don't know, 100 weeks plus or something, which is great and long in coming. But there have been a number of naysayers and people that have said it's too rigid, it's too hard.
Well, being sick is too hard. Being sick is too hard. And I didn't find it difficult, actually. I mean, the first week I did, to be honest, I said, there's no way I can do this. But I was going through the whole withdrawal thing. Mm-hmm. And just, it's like going off caffeine or cigarettes or drugs. You know, you feel horrible in the beginning, but after a while, you start feeling really good, and that's what happened to me.
Yeah, we were talking about vitality, I think it was last week, and when people continue to eat foods that are difficult on the body, mm-hmm. at some point, the body just gives up and says, I can't work on purging this stuff. There's only a limit to what I can do, and so it just lets it accumulate, mm-hmm. and one way or another, we fall apart. Mm-hmm. But then when you stop taking in the toxins and you're feeding your body with cleansing foods and nutritious foods, the body's allowed to start cleaning out. And right. it can be really uncomfortable during that initial cleaning phase.
Yeah. You want to sleep a lot. You want to stay in bed. You feel tired.
Hydrate.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth it. I feel fantastic.
Now, can I ask you how old you are?
Nope.
No.
I keep that a secret.
Okay, well, you look pretty good.
Thank you.
I'm assuming, I mean, I know that you've got to be older than a certain age, and most people I know that are older than that certain age don't look as good as you.
Is it because of the music I like? Is that?
I think it's the vegetables. My favorite vegetable.
But, you know, all my life I thought I was eating healthy. For some reason, I got into reading books when I was about 16 years old about diet, nutrition, vitamins. And I thought I had a healthy diet. You know, I thought what the government guidelines tell you to eat was healthy.
Yeah. Scary.
And it's pretty scary.
So what kind of diet were you on?
I was eating, you know, low-fat chicken, low-fat cheeses, and grain breads,
okay.
you know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But I found out that I don't do well with grains
mm-hmm.
at all. So I try to avoid grains.
Yeah, it's hard for people to realize that that is very inflammatory and mm-hmm. and oftentimes leads to different forms of arthritis and lupus, like you said, and mm-hmm. and all the illnesses that are lumped into autoimmune diseases. There's so many of them, and I think that's one reason why people don't realize that food is really the cause of all of them. Because when we see things that are that manifest themselves so differently, mm-hmm. we think that they're different, but they're really
right.
the same thing. It's
right.
just a Now, there are theories about how autoimmune diseases are caused, and my understanding in very simple layman terms is you get these proteins that are really hard to digest in your gut, and your gut wall somehow gets compromised, and these undigested proteins get into your bloodstream, and then your body creates these anti-proteins to deal with them, and then they kind of mutate and become these things that will in one way or another wreak havoc, either in a joint or with multiple sclerosis. It'll cause some scarring on the myelin coating on the nerves, and it's just fascinating. Mm-hmm. You can get asthma and all kinds of different rashes on your skin.
Well, that was one of my symptoms, asthma.
Fatigue, of course, that mysterious
right.
symptom, fatigue. I mean, everybody's tired. How do you pinpoint what it is?
Right. It's amazing. You can turn all of that around just by changing your diet. It's unbelievable.
And how long did it take for you?
I went back to my original doctor about 2 months after following a plant. Well, I'm a high micronutrient diet, and about 2 months later, he said, I can't believe this. I've never seen anything like this. He says, your blood work is perfect.
Wow.
And not my cholesterol went down, my ANA numbers, the antibody numbers, all those rheumatoid markers, everything went down. It was amazing, amazing. And that's why I created the Broccoli Rob Show.
Okay, now let's get into that. So what is the Broccoli Rob Show?
Well, I've been a musician all my life, as you probably know. I toured Europe with the Glenn Miller Orchestra. I was the lead vocalist for them.
Wow.
I did some television shows, Star Search, things like that, had songs on the radio. And I always wanted to, well, people ask me, they say, you know, why don't you do a kid show or something? And I never had anything I felt to offer. I didn't want to go out and sing nursery rhymes and that kind of thing. So, but it just hit me one morning. I was lying in bed and I said, you know what? I should spread the word about healthy eating to children. They don't know, you know, maybe their parents told them, but if they could identify with like a modern day Popeye, maybe they would eat more fruits and vegetables. I don't even know if Popeye's on television anymore.
But I don't know, but he certainly had it right.
He had it right with the spinach.
I'm strong to the finish because I eat my spinach.
Yeah, it was just canned. He needed to eat some fresh.
Fresh, okay. But
but it worked for Popeye.
Right.
But anyway, no, I've been writing songs that children could understand about healthy eating. And
I love the name Broccoli Rob. So
Broccoli Rob.
When we eat Broccoli Rob, the food, R-A-B-E, I think it is, right?
R-A-B-E.
R-A-B-E, right. It's a delicious vegetable. It's a very bitter green. Probably not as popular with kids because it's so bitter, unless they have a developed palate.
Right,
but it's a great food, and I love that you're Broccoli Rob. Okay, so you've been around a variety of schools. This is great for the young. Kindergarten through what age?
It's generally kindergarten through fifth grade.
And what do you do during the show?
Oh, man, I have costume changes. I have different characters. I actually studied martial arts for about 12, 13 years, and I have a character in the show where I do a little karate demonstration, and the character's name is Bruce Leek.
Bruce Leek.
The kids don't know Bruce Lee, but...
Right. Why not?
You know, when the teachers are attending the show, they get a kick out of it as well, so they get the humor.
Right. So they get to see that vegetables are fun, vegetables are strong. And the message that vegetables are good for you doesn't really play well.
Right, right.
Because one of the things that children are learning as they're becoming adults is how to formulate their own opinions, and they kind of want to push the boundaries and be contrary.
Right.
So there's a way you have to trick them into making the right choices.
Right. They're thinking, well, you know, if this made Broccoli Rob healthy and strong, it may help me, too. I'm going to do it. And in fact, I get letters from parents and the kids. The teachers will have the kids sit down and they write a whole bunch of letters and draw pictures and send them to me. And it's amazing. One of them actually brought tears to my eyes. A parent sent me an email after her child saw the show. And she told me her child had autism. And she said she's been trying to get her child to eat more salads, and her child wouldn't touch the salads. She said after she saw that show, she went home and had five bowls of salad. And when I heard that, I get the email, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what did I do?
Right.
Did I say something wrong? Did I upset a parent, telling them, you know? But, I, you know, in the show, I don't tell people, don't eat meat, don't do this, don't do that. I just say eat more fruits and vegetables. I don't want to upset anybody or anything like that. But on a show like this, I'll tell you what I really feel about meat.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. When we talk about autism specifically, one of the symptoms is that the children typically don't want to eat, or they don't want to eat the right things. They're really picky eaters. And a certain number of them have been healed or cured or improved by eliminating wheat and dairy. There's this diet that's specifically geared towards eliminating wheat and dairy, and a lot of autistic children have found relief from it. It doesn't work with all of them, and I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it has helped. And it's really hard when a parent wants to do that because the child is such a picky eater, and you take away some of their favorite foods. So to find a way, and maybe you've got it, where you've got this fun way to get even the pickiest of eaters wanting to eat salad.
I hope so.
That's
I hope
genius.
It works with more, you know, more children. But really, it has to come from the parents, too. I mean, the parents are laying out the food for the children.
Yep.
So they need to be aware of this.
I mean, how many times have you heard parents say, you know, I don't know why my kids eat all the junk food that they do. And then you look in their cabinets. Well, where's the junk food coming from? You're buying it and you're eating it.
Right. It's like the parent smoking cigarettes saying, don't smoke.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't do as I say, not as I do. Does not go very far. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your anger now.
Oh, my anger.
So you were telling me that you were sharing your revelations with food with some friends, and you don't always get the response that you like.
Well, you know, you really can't change people's, maybe you can, but you can't change everybody's mind. And I was having a discussion with somebody about eating healthy, and their feeling was no matter what you eat, no matter what you do, your genes are dictating how your health is going to be. It has nothing to do with what you put in your body.
Of course, those are the G-E-N-E-S genes,
not
the Levi Blue jeans.
That's right.
Well, we hear that all the time, and you have to ask yourself, why do people believe that? And they believe it because that's what they've been told to believe the last 50 years or so as we've been discovering DNA and chromosomes and genes and we're trying to figure out what they're good for and what they do. We've been sort of learning about genes, but I think what we're learning now is the genes are there, but they don't express themselves unless given the right opportunity. And if you keep yourself on a diet like Dr. Furman recommends, loaded with nutrient-dense plant foods and minimal or little junk, your genes just don't express themselves. But your friends
don't. There's new studies coming out.
Your friends don't believe that when you tell them.
No, they don't believe it. And I understand. You know, we live in a society where we're not taught too much about eating healthy, and what they tell you is healthy may not really be healthy, you know. So
now, when you get these gigs in the school, who gets you to come? Initiates that?
The PTA. PTA. They hear about it through other schools or through my website. They'll do a search or. I'm also registered with BOCES, the performance, the Arts and Ed catalog.
Right.
In
now, is that just a New York program or is that outside
it's
of New York?
It's county to county. It's Westchester, Putnam, Suffolk, Nassau. So I'm registered in that catalog. The parents or the teachers or principal will go into this catalog and say, I want to find a health-based program. And, you know, my show pops up.
And you have a website?
I have a website, thebroccolirobshow.com.
The Broccoli Rob Show. But that's broccoli with an R-O-B, Rob.
That's right.
Right? Not Rob, R-A-B-E, like the luscious, bitter broccoli vegetable with a little garlic and lemon juice. That's so good, and I could really enjoy some right now.
All right.
No,
sounds
you're
great.
The Broccoli R-O-B
Yeah. Or BroccoliRobShow.com.
Oh, both.
Either one will work.
Very clever. You have both.
I have both. I keep myself covered.
That's right. Well, it makes me think of myself because I was talking about the swingin' gourmets earlier, and the swingin' ends in an IN apostrophe. We dropped the G, and we got the swingin' gourmets.com.
That's very country.
It is what it is. It's whatever
swingin',
you want it to be.
Rockin'.
But the swing gourmets, it just has one G in the middle, swingandgourmets.com. And then when we were noted in the San Francisco Chronicle as one of their best picks when we were doing a show out in April in San Francisco area, they spelled it wrong and did swinging gourmets, two G's in the middle. And immediately I bought that domain and had it forwarded to our website. You have to have yourselves covered, right? So the Broccoli Rob Show and Broccoli Rob Show, either way, gets you there. Because I imagine parents out there, any of you that are out there, that want something fun and you're probably frustrated because your kids aren't learning much about the healthy diets and fruits and vegetables, or maybe you're getting your kids interested, but they're so pressured by all their friends who are eating all the junk. Here's a great thing. Get this Broccoli Rob Show into your school and get your kids wanting to eat five bowls of salad when they come home. Right?
It seems like it's working, so.
Good. Now, can we get a taste? Can we get a little sample? Do you think you could do a song for us?
Well, you know what's funny? On my regular music CD, I still perform my original music for adults. I had a song on my last CD, and it was a song about eating healthy, taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a love song in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, isn't that what it's all about? Taking care of yourself is really a love song or a love action you can do for yourself and for those who care about you.
Right. And you could get that CD on CD Baby or my website, robertpoemusic.com.
Robert Poe.
Yes.
Poe as in Edgar Allan.
Yes.
RobertPoe.com.
RobertPoeMusic.com. RobertPoe.net. I don't want to confuse everybody with all these websites.
Right, but RobertPoeMusic.com. So let's hear it.
I'm eating my greens and no more candy in between, 'cause you're sweet enough, it's true. I'm getting strong, I wanna live real long, I wanna be around for you. Well, you're my reason for this good eating and working out every day. Nature's concoctions will rid my toxins. Baby, I change my way. I'm eating my greens and getting hard and lean. It's something everybody should do. I want to be strong. Yes, I want to live real long. I want to be around for you. I want to be around for you. Yes, I want to be around for you. But that's not in the kids' show.
Oh.
That's just on my
I love it.
Regular CD.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Thank
you. You have a fine voice there.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, on the kids' show, I'm doing tunes like choo-choo, choo-choo, riding on the veggie train, choo-choo, you know.
That's awesome. Who loved that? I love that. And I want to know if you loved it. You can send me a message at info@realmeals.org and let me know what you think of Rob Poe, and then I'll tell him. Or you could just go right to his website and tell him yourself. But that was really something. More people need to be singing about greens.
About greens.
All of us need to do our part, because personally, okay, you're a musician, you're an artist, and you're using what you do to tell the world what you're passionate about. We all should be doing that. And I really believe in the arts. I think that's one of the best ways to get any kind of message out. The arts have been used forever. People that have had political issues over time, they put messages in their paintings, they put messages in their music in order to get people to think about it.
Right.
And we kind of need a new movement. During the civil rights era, we had that whole folk music thing that started, and everybody was singing about war and peace. And now it's time for everybody to just be singing about foods, green food, broccoli Rob,
Well, the
kale.
Swinging Gourmets should meet Broccoli Rob.
Well,
and
we absolutely will. Yeah. That's really good. Okay, so we just have 5-6 minutes left. And anything else you're angry about you want to talk about?
Well,
you're not really an angry guy.
No, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I just, you know, when you're trying to do something good for yourself and good for other people, and then you have people telling you, no, you know, that healthy eating, that's nonsense, you know. I'm just going to eat whatever I want to eat, and I'll be fine. It's in my genes, you know. Whatever. That makes me a little angry, but...
Well, fortunately, we have the internet now, and people who are interested in this information, for one reason or another, either they're really ill and their doctors have not provided any help and they're looking for help, or they just want to feel healthier and they're starting to learn. And there's a lot of different websites. There are doctors and nutritionists and health coaches and all kinds of opportunities for people to learn and discover what can get them feeling better and feeling healthy. And all that's great. But I think we need as many avenues as we possibly can. Right. I love all the different religious versions. Like there's the Christian veg and the Jewish veg, and I believe there's a Muslim groups that are promoting vegetarian, cruelty-free, healthy diets. So there's the religious contingent. There's all different contingents that appeal to different demographics. And I think you and me, we're moving the art world and the music world, and what better way to do it with some fun songs to make it fun. Okay, we know the food's great. We know that now. There are just a gazillion cookbooks, and there are and more restaurants.
It tastes great. Better than if I see a slice of pizza sitting there, I know how horrible I'm going to feel if I eat that pizza. And I've taken bites of that pizza since I've been eating healthy, and I feel horrible. I don't sleep well. My hands get inflamed. My joints ache, the symptoms start coming back. It's not worth it. It's just, and you know what? Really, all right, I'm angry. Here we go. You know what really bothers me? When you tell people, and they're aware of it, and they know that eating healthy is good, but they don't do anything about it. They don't realize how many people their ill health will affect. They don't realize that if I have a heart attack, who's going to be coming to the hospital? People have to come to the hospital. I may be, wind up in a wheelchair. Somebody's going to be inconvenienced by wheeling me around and everything. If you already, all right, it's one thing if you don't know that you can heart attack proof yourself. But if you know that and you're not doing anything about it, I think it's selfish.
Yeah.
It's really selfish because you're going to affect and hurt a lot of people. So that's what I'm angry about.
Okay, well, you've heard it here. Rob Poe is angry, and he's doing something about it. He's got this really fun Broccoli Rob show, which is a happy show, right? Website, can we see little glimpses of what the show is about?
There's a little news piece that Verizon Fios did on the show.
Wow.
There's a video of the very first show I ever did. It was videotaped, and I put it up on there. I don't like the costume I'm in, but... things evolve.
Yeah, well, you probably need a new video to put up there.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that one. Okay. And favorite foods before we leave. I like to leave with a good taste in people's mouths.
Broccoli Rob. I love making a huge salad with nuts and seeds and tomatoes and cucumbers and celery and then making a nut-based dressing.
Nut butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cashew nuts, some orange, and sesame. Just delicious.
You know, I'm sorry, but all those pizza fans out there, when you learn to love this food, the salad, I mean, pizza doesn't hold a candle.
That's right.
It doesn't fill you up. It's just salty, oily, and believe it or not, it's not good. When you clean up and your taste buds all of a sudden start working,
Right.
You don't know what you can taste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I have something, like we mentioned pizza, a bite of pizza, it's so salty because my taste buds have changed since I've been eating healthy, and it just doesn't taste good.
Well, I love talking to individuals about what food has done for them, and it certainly has. I don't remember you before what you looked like, but you're looking really good now.
Thanks. I think I dropped about 40 pounds.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And Probably just without even thinking about it, just eating different foods.
I always tell people, don't think about losing weight. Just think about getting healthy, and losing weight will be a byproduct.
It's a bonus.
Of eating healthy.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, well, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. And, okay, he's showing me his muscles here in the studio, and he's looking damn good. It's all in the greens. You, too, can benefit inside and out and start looking better and looking younger and feeling great. I like to say we're not getting older, we're getting better. And only kale can do that. And maybe broccoli, Rob. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with Rory Friedman, the co-author of Skinny Bitch, who's got a new book out called Beg. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food here on August 6th, 2013. And once again, I want to remind you about the Swinging Gourmets. One more time, let me remind you. So the Swinging Gourmets is a new vegan musical cabaret. We did a show in April in San Francisco. We got the best pick in the Chronicle and a nice review in the San Jose Mercury News. And now we are out and about. We're going to do a number of performances later in December in Manhattan. And it's all about musical theater, never looking so healthy. And we have a food show. I would love you to watch it at swinggourmets.com, swinggourmets.com. Check it out. Let me know what you think at info@realmeals.org. That's the way you can message me and find me, info@realmeals.org. Okay, moving on. We've been talking a lot about animals the last few weeks, and we are going to continue today. My next guest is Rory Friedman. She is the co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling Skinny Bitch, a tough love manifesto that has inspired countless women to start making smart and compassionate food choices. She has co-authored other books in the series, Skinny Bitch, Skinny Bitch in the Kitch, Skinny Bitch, Bun in the Oven, Skinny Bastard, and Skinny Bitchin'. An outspoken advocate for animal rights, she lives in Los Angeles with her dogs and will go anywhere and everywhere to spread the word about her new book, Beg, A Radical New Way of Regarding Animals. Welcome to It's All About Food, Rory.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You have a very lovely, beautiful book here. It's got one of my favorite colors on the cover, green.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, the saddest thing I find about all the horrible things that we do to animals, and humans do some pretty awful things to each other and to animals, is that animals don't have a voice.
They don't have a voice, and it's up to us to speak out for them and on their behalf, and to not only do that, but to really just change our own behaviors so that our actions are aligned with what is in our hearts, and that's that animals are treated the right way.
I like what you just said, and I really want to believe that we have good in our hearts, and we just need to reach down in there and find it and not be overwhelmed by all this clutter that's all around us.
There is so much clutter, and it's coming at us from every direction. I mean, just here I am on hold waiting, for you to come on the line and to start the interview. And just, you know, regular radio stations are just blasting at you all these ads for different shows. And it's really, and I don't say this to complain, I just say this as a statement of a fact. It's, you know, sort of an intrusion on the mental space, and most of us just get numbed out and get used to living with this much noise all around us all the time. And I don't just mean actual noise, I mean the noise that fills our brains and that fills our lives and that keeps us from being who it is that we're meant to be or from doing what it is we're meant to do. And, you know, one of the ways that I was just sort of living in clutter and noise was just not realizing. I just didn't know what was happening to animals in many ways. And, you know, once I got that information, I had to make a lot of changes in my life.
It's an amazing thing when the veil is lifted. You know, I've been a vegan for a really long time, over 25 years. And I started as a teenager being a vegetarian. I didn't want to kill animals. And it's been a long process and a journey for me. I became vegan when I was 30. And I think, thinking back on it now, I think it was really easy for me. I was young when I started thinking like this. And for people that are older, that are that are just seeing the light, that are just understanding, that are just realizing their actions, it takes a lot of courage to make a change.
It does. I think in any capacity, whatever it is that we're talking about, in order to make positive change in our life, we have to dig really deep and then really hang on by our bootstraps, because it's hard. Change is difficult. It can be scary. It can be challenging. It can be exhausting. And there's that little nagging voice, that ego voice in the back of the mind that says, it's not going to make a difference anyway. You're just one person. Or, this is too hard. What's the big deal? I've been doing it this way my whole life. Whatever it is, whether it's cigarette smoking or drinking or gossiping or negative thoughts, you know, it's really hard to create change and to make new changes. But I wrote Beg, my new book, A Radical New Way of Regarding Animals, to just give people that encouragement, first of all, to give them the information and the awareness to make changes regarding how they are living in the world with animals around them, and also to just give them the inspiration and the motivation to dig deep and find that extra oomph to help them go that extra mile.
Well, you definitely have a very interesting voice in this book, because you're telling it like it is, and the information is not easy to hear, but it's also very positive and uplifting and in some ways non-judgmental, kind of making it easier. I don't know how easy it is, because I've been doing it for a long time, but it feels like it's welcoming.
Thank you. I mean, certainly I've been on my own journey also, and for many years I did not have a gentle voice when I would be talking about animals. I would have this voice of insanity, because I was literally just driven mad by what was happening to animals and that people did not know. And I really believed that if everyone wasn't doing exactly what it was that I thought they should do about animals, that they were selfish and terrible. And I now know that that's not the case. And really, I just took on my job as a writer of this book, Beg, to just tell people, hey, this is what happens when you buy leather, or when you take your children to the circus, or this is what zoos consist of, or this is what, running with the bulls really looks like. So it's just information now, and it's for people to do what they will with it. And really and truly, I'm trying to live in a place without judgment now, because I have my own things that I have to work on in myself that are important to me. And, you know, the most important thing is to just be sort of that light of love for everything. And it's so challenging. And I don't just mean when I'm talking about animals. I just mean for everything. If I'm really awakened to the voices in my head all the time, I constantly see myself judging people, or observe myself being critical of others, or being sort of closed in my heart when I could be more open and patient and tolerant about a million different things. So that's my work now, and I hoped that some of that seeped into the writing of Beg.
Amen to that. That's the work. That's the real work. Once we get all our basic needs taken care of, that's the real work that we have to do, and it's probably the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's our lifelong mission is to ascend these petty voices of ego that are in our brains, and to instead open up to the voice of our heart.
Well, they're in our brains because, like you mentioned before, we're continually bombarded. This is the message that we're getting more and more from commercials, from television, from radio, mm-hmm. from movies. And, you know, maybe back in the 50s, things were a little superficial, but I think they were more polite. And now,
absolutely.
Now it's just the kids are more obnoxious and there's no respect. And we really need to tune that out and learn how to open our hearts and know that love is the only answer, however cliche that sounds.
No, it really is. And, you know, I have to take responsibility. I didn't always know this, of course. And, you know, my book, Skinny Bitch, is not only has a profane title, but has tons of profanity throughout. I just didn't know any better. In my mind, I thought I had sort of a vague spirituality back then. And I thought, like, oh, God has a sense of humor. God doesn't care about words. And I feel very differently now, and it's why my new book, Beg, has a more earnest tone and less profanity, or no profanity, because I just thought, you can't serve two masters, you know, you can only serve one. And I'm going to try and serve God, and even if it means my books are not going to have as much appeal to a young audience who likes that sort of profanity and who lives in the culture of this day and age with this sort of entertainment. But it just really is important to me to remember who I'm serving. And it's not myself. It's not my bank account. It's not even my readers. It's God.
Mm-hmm. That's That's really a beautiful insight into you and where you are. But I want to say that your first books really served, they did a service. And I was talking before about how in my work, I encourage any book or any person with the message about not exploiting people, animals in any way. And if you're going to do it through your religion, if you're going to do it through your demographic or whatever it is that allows you to be open to the message, I'm all for it. And I know that you changed the lives of so many young women and men with that book, with that first book and the subsequent books. And there may be some things that are offensive in the book, especially to other people who are in a different place on that path.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you turn the light on for so many people, and that's good.
I don't regret it. I really just know that it's all part of this path that I'm on.
You're growing up. It's okay.
I'm growing up. You know, that book was, I think, 10 years ago, and I'm just a different person today.
Yeah.
And I can't regret it because it's who I was then, and I trust that, you know, I'm getting everything I need to get on this journey back home. And, you know, I'm happy to have gotten what I've gotten now more recently. And the reason I titled the book Bag had a sexier, more profane title that was in line with the Skinny Bitch brand. But I was in a meditation. I had two different meditations. One was, oh my gosh, I can no longer swear and use profanity in my life or in my writing. So there went that title. And then in another meditation, you know, I know so much about what happens to animals, and I get, you know, emails every day about it. There's postings on Facebook and Twitter every day about it. You know, I've seen countless hours of video footage. I've done countless hours of research. I know what's out there, and I know how bad it is, and I know that, you know, there are times that it just guts me. But then in this meditation, I really didn't realize just to the core of my being how much pain and sadness and grief I had in my physical body for what these animals have endured and continue to endure. And from that place, I just felt, you know, I'm begging for mercy. I'm just begging people for their mercy for these animals, because what they're going through is beyond anything that any one of us could begin to imagine. And that's where the title Bag came from.
Yeah. The worst that we do is, or at least in numbers, is what we do for the animals that we call food. And I talk about that all the time, especially on this program, which is it's all about food. But when we acknowledge, when we allow ourselves to do these things to animals, and when we eat animals all the time, I think it allows us to do all the other things that we do to them. And you touch on many of those, and it's just so unbelievable. So something like a puppy, something so sweet and lovely, and you have so many different images, a romance, you know, one lover gives a puppy to another, or Christmas morning and the children get a little puppy with a big red ribbon around them, or, you know, so many little wonderful things around a puppy, and yet we don't see what's really behind the ones that are bred in mills.
Right.
And you let us know that in this book.
Yeah, it's surprising, but unfortunately people still just aren't completely aware of what goes on as far as dog breeding goes, and that when you buy a dog from a pet store, that dog has been supplied by a puppy mill, and that these animals are just being mass-produced and pumped out like they are parts from a factory as opposed to living beings, and they're not getting veterinary treatment or adequate treatment or adequate food or water or any exercise. Their grooming needs are not being met, and lots of them are sick, and lots of people will buy these dogs, fall madly in love, take them home, and then the animal will get sick. They'll have spent thousands of dollars on a vet bill, having already paid $1,000 or more for the animal in the pet store, and then the animal will die. And then the pet store will say, oh, well, we'll give you another one for free. Mm. And it's like it's, you know, a shirt that got a rip in it or something, as opposed to a living being. And the reason that these animals are so sick and dying is because they're all just being inbred in these puppy mill scenarios. So these are just some of the basic, simple things that we can do to be kinder and more merciful to animals. Instead of purchasing animals from pet stores or even buying them from breeders, we can adopt animals from shelters, since they are going to be killed killed if they are not adopted because our shelter system is just overcrowded and taxed.
Well, just one thought behind the breeding concept, you know, if we're not connecting the dots, but it's rape and it's creating, I mean, the whole concept behind a breed, and we wouldn't, my gosh, I hope we wouldn't tolerate it in this day and age with humans, you know, breeding the ultimate human, although those stories continue to plague us in sci-fi movies and whatever. But it's really a very ugly thing. And people just see, oh, they want a certain look or some acuteness behind it. It's just pretty incredible. Okay, so it's one thing that we do what we do to the incredibly adorable animals that are out there. That is just unbelievable, because sometimes I want to believe that we treat the ones that are cuddly and cute better. But certainly when it comes to puppy mills and breeding, we're not treating the animals that are bred to make these adorable little muffins. But there are many species that are not cute and cuddly. And a fish, for example. I keep learning more and more about fish, and I learned a bit in your book.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I was surprised to learn is that fish feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's easy to discount fish because they're not furry, they're not cute, it's not somebody you would want to pick up and hold and hug and kiss. And their expressions to us don't really look like there's much intelligence there. But it's like saying, I can't even think of a good analogy, but beyond what we think just by looking at them, just because we don't relate to them in the same way we might relate to a kitten or a puppy or a chimp, or even a dolphin who looks like he or she is smiling, These fish do have pain. Their facial expressions or other movements of their body do indicate that they're suffering pain. And it's been a convenience for sports fishermen for all these years to say that they don't, when in fact, you know, catching a fish by its mouth, you know, putting a hook through its mouth and ripping the hook out of this mouth and then throwing him or her back in the water, this fish does experience pain. It also experiences stress, which has been proven time and time again by science. So, you know, sport fishing for fun, like certainly we can enjoy the water or nature or ourselves in so many other ways that just don't include things that are torturing and harming and hurting animals.
I've done a bit of snorkeling and some scuba diving, and I have just this personal motto, look, but don't touch. I don't want to touch anything. I don't even want to touch the coral. It's so precious. And
yeah, a friend of mine was diving once, and before that, she had eaten fish her whole life, and then she said she had this moment where this little squid was in front of her, and they were just regarding each other, and she just spent like maybe a minute or so with the squid, and it's just something in her heart opened, and she said, oh my goodness, what have I been doing? And never again, and she just stopped eating fish after that.
I think my first epiphany with fish came from an odd place, but there's that Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And not that I recommend chicken soup for anyone. There's lots of wonderful vegan versions of that delicious brothy soup, nourishing, healing recipe. We don't need chicken soup. But there was one about sea animals, and there were so many incredible stories about the intelligence of fish one after another. And I was just blown away because you just don't have the opportunity to think about there's a whole world under the water, and we don't even know it's the intelligence that's going on there.
No, I mean, really and truly, we have been given dominion over animals, and we have not been very good stewards at all. I mean, obviously, we are ruining the planet in so many ways and harming animals in so many ways. And, you know, I know that people will often say that they need meat to live or that their body, and I don't even want to address that. I'll say, fine, if that's the case, let's allow for that. But the other millions of things or ways that we're harming animals that we don't need to do, that we don't even need to address, that, you know, do we actually need for our children to spend 2 hours in a circus knowing that that contributes to a lifetime of imprisonment and abuse for the elephants or the lions or the tigers? I mean, these are so many things that we can live without and that are simply for, quote-unquote, entertainment that we don't need for our survival or our health or for our wellness.
Well, I want to believe that when we stop consuming species that have experienced exploitation and violence, we will stop creating more violence. I think as we eat it, we continue to.
Yes, I do think ingesting animals who have been factory farmed and slaughtered and butchered in such haphazard and cruel conditions and been abused up until their death is certainly not something that you would want to put into your body.
Okay, I just have one question in the book that I hope you don't mind me asking. You look fabulous in the photo, and I've seen you a few times in person. Most recently, I was at the Leadership Weekend in Washington with PCRM in December, and you spoke one of the evenings.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And you mention your unfortunate hair all the time in this book. What's that about?
Oh, that was the story I was telling during my college days when I had unfortunate hair in college. And thank you very much. That's very funny. Obviously, the picture in the book has been, you know, styled professionally lit, hair, makeup, retouching, lighting.
Yeah, but you have to have something good to work with.
Oh, thank you very much.
So do you really think you have unfortunate hair?
It's so silly to even consider that I have hair problems and there's so much terrible stuff going on in the world. I'm going to stop complaining about hair.
Okay, good. I mean, I know I have, I've had big hair all my life, big, red, curly, frizzy hair, and I've learned how to use blow dryers and all kinds of products. Coconut oil is my favorite, but, you know, still on a hot, humid day, it's out of control. But as somebody who's gone through chemotherapy and lost her hair, as a friend of mine who wrote a book said, any day with hair is a good day.
Yeah,
you gotta love your hair.
A lot less stock in my appearance and to care less. And, you know, one of the things I've been feeling lately is just sort of this shrinking away from the public spotlight, in a sense, and just not wanting to have to sort of do the same work in the same vein. And, you know, to a degree, when you go on a book tour or you're going on TV shows or you're giving speeches, you have to pay attention to your appearance because it's just expected that you're going to be well put together. And I'm just not so interested in that right now. I'm not interested in thinking about clothes or hair or makeup. You know, I would just prefer to feel that connection in my heart to the divine. And my appearance just feels even beyond secondary, much, much lower on the list.
Yeah, well, you do sound like you're growing up quite a bit, more than most people will ever do in their lifetime. So you have a lot of followers. What do they think about this book, Beg, and the new you?
Interestingly, you know, when I was on the book tour and talking about what I have just been going through, my own personal shifts around language and not swearing, the response was that, you know, ultimately it seemed that everybody there, the same response, first of all, that you had was that, well, hey, let's not beat down Skinny Bitch because that book was really helpful. But also that, hey, yeah, I'm finding the same thing. I'm changing my language also, and I'm finding that I want to be kinder and gentler to people who don't share the same view that I have, and that the work needs to be done within more than without. And, you know, that even more important than what we're putting out in the world and trying to encourage others to do is that we need to do this work in ourselves. So it was really a beautiful experience to connect with people on that same level and to just see that, like, yeah, it's happening. It's not just happening in me. It's happening in people all over the place.
That's really important. I know that with many of us who are in this movement, if we call it a movement, trying to make this world a better place for all life on Earth, it can be very challenging. It can be very disorienting. It can be frustrating, depressing, competitive. And the best solution to all of those feelings, when you have all this wonderful information and you want to help someone and they're not open to it and they don't want it, and you know you can make them feel better, it's just not about that. You cannot control. You need to know that you can only be you and yourself, and going within and clearing all of the clutter is probably the best thing we can do.
Yeah, I'm really just clear today that I have no idea what anyone else's journey should look like, and it's arrogant for me to think that I know what someone else needs, and that it's truly between them and God, and their path is between them and God, and I think also that's part of the reason I'm sort of shrinking away from the spotlight, in that I just am clear now that I just don't know anymore. I just don't know anything about anything anymore. And I know that it's important for me to cultivate my relationship with God and to be pleasing to God, and that the rest of what everybody else does or doesn't do is between them and God. And I've got plenty of work to do on myself.
Well, I'm glad that I managed to catch you before you totally turn away from talking to all of us mm-hmm. out there. And I'm glad you wrote this book. It's definitely a good read, and the animals really need this and so much more. They need us. You know, I don't even want to put words in their mouth, because I'm sure that what they have to say is so much more profound than what we say. But just to open people's eyes to know that we need to be paying attention and being a lot kinder to them. So
yeah,
thank you.
I think that's a good summary. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. And it's all about food. And all the best to you on your journey.
Same to you.
Okay, be well. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. And that was Rory Friedman, the author of the new book, Beg. And it's a radical new way of regarding animals, and something we all should know about. And thank you again for joining me. And visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's where I live. Email me at info@realmeals.org. And remember, have a delicious week.